Mike, and we have David over here.
What up?
And of course, we have Phoebs.
Hey, hey, hey. Here I am. Good to be with you.
How are you guys doing today?
Well, you know.
Keeping it real, keeping it 100.
Okay.
Definitely keeping it 100, right. Maybe 110 today.
110?
Yeah.
You're going above and beyond today.
Ooh.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, today's podcast, what are we going to talk about? How the struggle is real?
The struggle is real.
It really is real. Yeah.
I think so many times people want to immediately just be like, what's wrong with individual people? And like, I think before we can get into any of that kind of stuff, you got to take a minute and just acknowledge that all of us are in a struggle, just making it day to day in this society as it's currently set up. So I feel like it's acknowledging that in this episode before we start to get into, you know, like, oh, mental health is this, or addiction is this, or whatever is this. It's just like, yo, like, can we just acknowledge that the struggle is real out here and we're all in it? Solidarity.
Facts.
Yeah, the worse things get out there for everybody, you know, the worse it is for us. It's a compound problem. Yeah. You know, because everything's going up and up. Food, gas.
Literally.
Anything you buy, Christmas stuff.
Right.
You know, everything went up 30-40%, but paychecks aren't going out.
That's a fact. And you know, like, here's the thing. Like, I've never, like, I feel like, you know, like, so I'm 33, and like my, I don't know, my mom's generation, maybe they experienced inflation, but like, I was a kid, and so it didn't like translate into anything for me until like having to deal with inflation. You know, being like a working adult is like, it like actually really sucks. Like, it's like a lot. And I didn't, you know, like, everything is just more expensive. And you know, like, if your income, well, whatever you're bringing in doesn't go up the same amount as, you know, inflation, like right now it's 6.8%, I think, last time I checked, which is like a day or two ago. You know, if your income doesn't go up by that amount, you're actually making less money every year. That's terrible. Yeah. Like, it's already a struggle to live on what we make. But like, you know, for this to be happening to us, it's like really rough. And then this,
I think inflation is always there, but it's in more digestible bites. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in theory, like, it's kind of like consistent with inflation and wages, but it's really frustrating because actually COVID did kind of create, you know, some opportunities for better negotiating opportunities for laborers. Like, there's been kind of a labor shortage, which is usually good for wages, but it's like this, the way inflation is right now has sort of canceled all that out, I feel like. And that only hits certain industries. It doesn't affect everybody. Right. Like,
Starbucks got their first union.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, there are things happening.
This is a great time for unions. I have a
friend
that works as a shop steward, and he said this is the time. You know, the people have power.
Nice.
But yeah, executing that power. It happened after the Black Plague, actually. I learned that in a history something a long time ago. After the Black Plague, apparently, like, a bunch of, like, kind of reforms and improvements in labor conditions started to happen. There was, like, a lot less people to do things. Yeah.
Well, like, yo, yeah. that tornado that ripped through Kentucky and Kansas. That's so sad. So that one candle factory.
Right, turned out.
So the people were like, they heard the sirens, and they're like, can we go home?
No.
And they're like, if you go home, then you'll probably be fired. And people were killed.
Right.
Just to make your damn candles, people. Right. You realize that?
Right. People were killed, literally.
To make that candle you bought in Walmart, right. People died.
Facts. That's sad. And even Amazon, I heard Amazon, and I worked for Amazon. Not that, like, I'm here to shade Amazon, but they're fierce. And they wouldn't even let their coworkers go home either. They're just like, oh, no, like, can we go home? Same thing. No, if you go home, you're going to be fired. Like, but there's like a deadly tornado, like, coming through that could kill us. So you'll lose your job. Like, what? That's crazy. And if people don't know better, they'll, like, I mean, a lot of people don't, you know, they're already, like, struggling. And so to lose a job is, like, you know, is something that's not an option. So, like, you just stay and endure the bad treatment. And that's, you know, that's another thing. So I'm going to say about that. Like, people that don't know their rights. Like, I am, well aware of all my labor rights, so you're not going to turn me out, because that'll be it. But it's, you know, a lot of people don't, and so they just allow like bad treatment, which is really unfortunate. You know, they don't really know how to advocate for themselves, which is always sad.
And people get off on power struggle in those situations. Like, they know that your situation is terrible and you need that job.
Right.
And they're going to abuse you and exploit you.
That's crazy. Yeah. Sadness.
Well, to anyone tuning in, the struggle is real. It's real. I'm keeping it real podcast. Right. Yes. It's interesting. I mean, it makes me think about, it's also, I think this is what makes me so frustrated too. The work it takes to know your rights and to advocate, to organize a union, no one gets paid for those hours,
no.
You know, like, and so it's also, you know, a lot of times like, well, fight for your rights, fight for what's just. And it's like, I got to focus on like raising my kids at home or like taking care of this, or, you know, it's,
right.
There's a cost to doing activism and organizing that, like, you know, a lot of times people aren't doing it because they don't care. It's just, I think it's taken for granted. And I actually think that's why a lot of times it's people who have more privilege and more wealth who end up being like political organizers or activists or politicians.
Right.
And that's a problem, right? Because then you have a bias where the people in positions of power to change things aren't actually the people who are most impacted by the problems.
Right.
Because those people don't even have time to turn out and get their voices heard.
Right.
And I think that's why you end up with really twisted policies. This is what also drives me nuts, where it's like, oh, we'll give you a social service, but if you get a job, then we're going to immediately like disqualify you from that thing that was helping you meet your food needs. And like, there's never, it's always about keeping people like feeling tight and crunchy and like not secure.
Right.
Like, I really think capitalism fuels itself on people not feeling secure, so they get trapped in those toxic work patterns that you're talking about. That's why I used to be really down with people who are into like universal basic income as a concept, which to me is like, I think the term is kind of problematic. It's like, it's just sort of being like, instead of having this super expensive and highly ineffective social safety net, it's like just of like services, like you can get help with food here and help with housing here and help with your fuel costs over here and fill out 1,000 pieces of paper and renew it every month and get disqualified if like a person in your household gets a new job. Like, that's nuts. It's
right.
Just, it's nuts. Versus being like, you know what? Let's just literally give everybody $1,000 a month, which is probably less than it costs to run this chaos scene we've got going. And like,
facts.
Just see what happens. And countries and states that have done this in different places, like, it tends to show it's like very actually economically efficient and that people don't just sit on their butts. Like, they're actually better at work because they have other stresses taken care of. Like,
right.
How good is your employee who's having a hard time like feeding themselves and their family? They tend to be like probably more distracted and probably having a hard time being present at work if that's what's going on in their lives.
Right.
Yeah. If you're struggling and you need housing or food, like, that's the only thing you think about.
Facts. Yeah.
Yep.
It's so crazy. Yeah. The limits that they place, I want to know, like, where, you know, have being somebody that has navigated through DSS and I, you know, in my position, I also help other people navigate through DSS. Where do they come up with these, like these calculations? Because, like, they don't make sense to me. Like, I don't know. Like, you have to, like, I don't know. In some counties, it's like if you make more than like $1,600 in a month, like you're disqualified from like food stamps and whatnot. Or it's like $1,600 in some counties and like $2,100 in other counties. And I'm just like, but like that's like not even anything, you know, like if you have like a full-time job, you have a car payment, you have insurance, you have, you know, like medical costs, food, you know, like I've had to cut back on, you know, like the amount of food that like I buy, and like I'm a hungry person, so like I want, like, why should I have to cut back on food, you know, like that's like I don't know, it just like makes no sense. Like I was getting food stamps for a while, and yes, I have no problem saying I was, you know, a recipient of, you know, social services, because they helped me, and they cut me off completely, and so I was like getting like $200 to $300 a month, and like yes, I got a job, but like with that job, also my fuel costs went up. And, you know, other costs went up. Oh, Jesus, what's that? And other costs went up as well. And so, like, I don't know, like, it didn't, like, you know, getting a job really, yes, it did help, but it would have been also beneficial to, like, still have those benefits or have them, like, step them down, like, gradually, as opposed to just immediately, like, no, you're all of a sudden done, like, you know, like, figure it out. And they don't really take a look at all of your finances. Like, it's one thing if they take a look, you know, like they do a calculation based off of like all of your, you know, what you're bringing in and what your expenses are. And if they see, oh, okay, so like you have like, you know, a surplus of like $400 a month. All right. So like you're fine. You might not be able to save money, but like you're going to be okay. But like when you're like right within like $100, you know, like that leaves no room, you know, for anything, you know. And of course, like, you know, incidentals come up. And if you don't have an emergency fund, you're like fucked, you know. Yeah. And there's and once like in, you know, like I'll just, you know, keep it real, like that's what's, you know, like this past couple of months, that's like happened to me, like incidentals, things have come up, and you know, every time that I've like established an emergency fund, it gets wiped out, and you know, like wiped out and then put into like negative, which is like tough to like get out of, you know, like you're trying to like progress forward and it seems like, oh my God, here comes another thing. And like, you know, like you try to like make a plan and try to do a new budget. And it just really, and there's like no help. And like
once you get behind, it's a wrap.
Right. And applying for assistance, no way to catch up. Like I applied for assistance for like a couple, you know, agencies to apply for assistance. Like when I read the guidelines, yeah, I would be qualified, but to get there, it's like 3 to 6 months of like constantly just submitting the same thing over and over and over again, which is like defeating in itself. Cause you're just like, is this ever really going to happen? Like, why am I doing this? Like, I'd rather not have to do this and just like focus on like trying to pull myself out. But yeah, so that's the, you know, that's the wonderful process that we have here in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Very broken system. Yeah. I had a client recently, and his worker at social services basically blatantly told him, oh, if you didn't have a job, you would have access to more services.
Right. That's crazy.
Oh, geez. That's reassuring.
Right. So should I quit my job and then become like destitute? So that way I have to, you know, like it's just, it's so backwards, you know?
Right.
It's
right.
So backwards. Yeah. And like the people that are, you know, trying, not people that are trying to, you know, work and whatnot, that could use the assistance, like they don't get the help that they need that would help them in the long run become even more self-sufficient, you know, like make sure that they don't have to worry about housing. They make sure that they don't have to worry about food. Those are the two basic things that people shouldn't have to worry about, you know? And I feel like there's enough funding from different things out there to make that a reality, you know, and not make it so difficult. Yes, we have the emergency assistance from, you know, Department of Social Services. But for that, it's like you have to be almost about right, like within 72 hours of being kicked out before they help you. It can't be like, oh, hey, like I'm going to need help this month. Can you, you know, help me out? It's like, no, sorry.
Right. You need, it's like to only be responding to a crisis. And right. By then it costs a lot more than it would have if you just got the little bit of help when you asked for it.
Thank you. And it's stressful on the body. Mentally, that's like a lot to deal. Feel like, oh my God, like, I don't know if my electric's going to be cut off. I don't know if my, like, cable and internet's going to be cut off. You know, like, that's, like, stressful. And then you want people to go out and be productive citizens?
That's right. Crazy. And then also, we are paying as a society for hospital bills, for medical bills, for the cost of the fact that our society has, like, some of the highest stress rates probably in the world, and they're correlated with, drum roll, like obesity, diabetes, like everyone ignores stress as a health factor.
Right.
And it is one of the primary causes of a lot of our chronic health conditions in this country.
Facts.
And we pay for that. I think this is where I get frustrated with people who are like, oh, I'm a conservative. I don't think we should put any money into people who need support. And to me, I'm like, well, wait a minute, like we're already paying an insane amount of money for all these different systems that are highly inefficient.
Right.
if you shift your mindset from like, I'm going to help those people in need to, I want to live in a society where everybody, no matter like where, like what you're born into or what your situation in life is, has the basic needs like housing and food, like you said, are just met.
Right.
Then it is a more, it becomes a more libertarian, I think, kind of society where the government doesn't have to be all up in your stuff all the time. You don't need to be dependent on like six different government services or things,
right?
The basics are there. And that also would give people more power in the labor market to negotiate, bringing it full circle to like better conditions at work and better wages at work, which like these companies can pay for.
Right.
They choose to make the people in charge super rich instead. That's just a choice they make. They can afford to pay higher wages. There's just no two ways about it when you look at these huge companies.
Right.
Like, balance sheets. So I don't know, and like I think we get so caught up in like conservatives versus liberals, and like it's neither, like liberals kind of create like too much, like there, it's paternalism, I feel like, where like if you're in social services, you're there to like help make good decisions for people or bail them out or save them, which is like gross too, versus like. And then conservatives are like, pull yourself by your bootstraps, do it all on your own. And I feel like the middle ground is like... But then they'll
give the money to corporate donors, you know, and big tax breaks.
Yo, talking about like the, yeah, the biggest welfare actual program in America is corporate tax breaks. Right. That is a true story. Real. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think either side has the right answers. And I think the more people feel like they do, we just get polarized and get further from real solutions. And
it's exactly. That's essentially what's happening. There's no like, nobody's willing to like come to a middle ground and be like, hey, you know what? Like, we're both actually kind of right. We're just on like, you know, the polar opposite. It's how about we just do a little of both and meet halfway? You know what I mean? You know, and see if it works. And how about like, I feel like there are other countries that do certain things in their community that just are scientifically proven to work. Isn't there like some other country, like, you know, just with regards to addiction treatment, instead of like, you know, like criminalizing it, didn't they just provide support and like
help? Portugal.
Right. Yeah. Right.
About
right.
10 years ago, Portugal legalized all drug use and made it a public health response exclusively. There's no legal criminal response to drug use, and drug use plummeted 40%.
See?
Death rate fell 60%. Like, striking positive impact.
That's science, and that's like, those are facts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
those
so
are
like
facts.
These are facts, so like why can't we like just like let go of our ego and pride and just be like, hey, so like they have a better solution and it's working, and maybe we can try little pockets here in this country, you know, where it's like maybe worse hit, you know, just do little experiments, why not? And if it doesn't work here, then it doesn't work, you know, but at least give it a chance, you know. And also like Ibogaine treatment, I mean, like, that was something that I was, like, looking into, and I know several people that that it really worked for them, you know, like, but they had to go and play, like, thousands of dollars, you know.
And go to Canada.
Right, go to Canada, go to Mexico, Cancun or whatever, to get this treatment. And it's proven, I mean, like, it's science-wise. It does you know, like, it does help for certain things. It's just, like, we're so stuck, I find, on ourselves, and you know, instead of being like open-minded,
And it's like once there's special interests, that our political system has gotten to a point where the minute there's any sort of like company or organization that has an investment in the status quo, they have the power to really keep it that way, which makes it very hard to shift things radically in any sort of way, right? Like universal health coverage, literally every other quote developed country in the world has universal health coverage, and the impact of that long term is that they have much lower drug costs, like way, so the whole system just costs a lot less, more than we pay here. But everyone's so invested in the, like, either their current health insurance, for like the employer health insurance system, that like it's too, like, no one will rock that boat, basically. Like, Obama just came up with a middle ground where it's like, keep your private health insurance, but we're creating like this special subsidized alternative health coverage to fill the gap, right. you know? And it's, we just have these patchworks of trying to fix problems.
Right.
And it's almost impossible for us to ever like structurally just like change things, you know? And to be fair, you know, we talk about a country like Portugal, you know, making this kind of change. Like, I'm just Googling right now their population. It's 10 million people. We have 350 million people. Right. So, like, and 50 independent, like, quasi-independent states within our country. So I don't want to, like, dismiss why it's, like, so much harder politically to make change happen here yeah. than a place like Portugal. And that's why, like, some cities in the U.S. are starting to do what, like, Portugal's done and also seeing positive success. But it is really hard to make any sort of structural changes in this country, but oof, like needed.
Right.
Actually, Hudson was part of a universal basic income pilot program the last 3 years. So you can enter a lottery. You were able to enter a lottery and then, you know, they selected randomly 500 people maybe from that lottery who would receive, I don't know if it was $500 a month.
Yeah, it was
$500
a month. No, it was right? $500 a month. Yeah.
And then they had a control group of people who like wanted to be in the lottery but weren't selected, so they could look at the data and compare differences in outcomes for those two groups. So right. hopefully, like in theory, like you hope when you do these kinds of projects that you can prove that they work and then make it like an actual citywide policy.
Right.
But I thought it was really interesting that Hudson was doing that.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. They actually recently did. You had another like, was it where you had to like submit your information? I told a couple of my clients about that. Yeah, just like go ahead and apply, do it. You know, why not?
Yeah,
You might get selected. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I saw that. I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I think like the big federal politics of like Republicans versus Democrats and presidential election, like they matter, but actually paying attention to what's going on in your own local city or county. You're probably going to be able to change things. I think at the end of the day, all change kind of has to start on a local level, and you got to fight for that there. It's right. very hard. If you just wait for the federal government to fix our problems, like, you'll be dead.
Facts. Right.
Yeah, relying on one solution isn't the answer, really.
No.
Yeah.
But speaking of, I think we got a video clip that we want to play.
Oh, my God.
We don't endorse or oppose any one particular party, but we'll play the clip for context, and you can decide is it a good message or does it matter who the messenger is.
Here we go. One
second. So this is Herschel Walker, who's a famous athlete. His son
Christian Walker.
Christian yeah. Walker. He took to Twitter to express how he feels about gas prices.
Here it is.
Y'all said Joe Biden was going to be the great unifier. This is divisive to my bank account and my hard-earned money. Screw your unity. You think this is unifying? Just keeps going up. Oh, just keep going up. Joe Biden. This is Joe Biden for you. Family struggling to afford to get to work. That's unifying. That's bringing the nation together. Screw this. Disgusting. Oh, just keep going. Keep going. Democrats voted for this. Democrats voted. What the? Wait, what? I know this is a joke. But I was voting for the guy who was going to destroy America. You were paying $30 for gas under my guy. Y'all.
Right.
So, yeah, just. You know, it's preposterous to think that the president controls the gas prices. And I've been seeing a lot, you know, I go to a gas station, Stewart's or wherever, and there's a sticker of Joe Biden pointing and saying, I did this. Yeah. And that's not really the way the world works, but apparently some people think that's how it works.
Yeah.
And sure, last year when we had a different president, we were still in the grips of the pandemic and people weren't driving. So,
right.
you know, they cut production. And then once people started driving again, you know, they didn't increase their production. They just wanted to make money.
Right.
And that really has nothing to do with the president.
Right. That's yep. OPEC, right?
Yeah.
OPEC. Right.
OPEC's really in charge, which is like basically a criminal enterprise. It's a cartel.
It's so fierce.
True story.
I can't.
But, you know, this particular gentleman, he got a lot of backlash on the internet.
Right.
Because, you know, he's wearing a $1,300 hoodie, and he's pumping high-test fuel into a Range Rover, which is...
I can't.
You know, so he doesn't represent the average person. So
he's the definition of privilege.
How do you guys feel, you know, is his message solid, or is because he's coming from a place of, you know... I can't think of the word.
He's being entitlement. Yeah.
You know, does it matter?
He's a fraud. I just don't like you don't get to say those things. I mean, like he can, like, you're a human being, you could say whatever you want, but like they have no, like, it has no substance, and like you really have nothing to stand on, because first of all, like, you come from, you know, like, your family has money. You know, like, your daddy has money. That's, so, like, you come from a family of privilege. Like, you know, the price is going up. Inflation really isn't bothering you that much. You're just doing this, you know, for a media presence, for attention. Like, it doesn't really bother you. And you could tell by his follow-up video, which we'll play in a minute here. But, Phoebes, how do you feel about the message?
Yeah, I'm like, look. I don't care how much money you have in your pocket. If you're going to make a political statement, at least, like, be educated about it. Like, it's like Lawrence said on the head. It's just like, right. That's not how this works. Like, that's not how any of this works.
Right.
So, like, I'm annoyed first off because it's ignorant. And then I'm secondly annoyed. Yeah. Because of this, like, you're so wealthy. You're doing this. Yeah. Literally a $1,300 sweatshirt on in your video. And you're just, obviously, you're just doing it to make a ruse and a statement and to get views.
Right.
Like, it's so self-serving. Right. Like, who are you trying to assist with this video? Nobody but yourself. Like, it's a publicity stunt. So I really, yeah, nah, it's no good.
And a failed publicity stunt at that. Because, like, he got dragged on Twitter. And then he posted this. Hold on. Here we go.
The Democrats don't like me because... I'm rich! I'm sorry that my parents were lazy on the couch all day waiting for handouts. I'm sorry that they built businesses and won championships, and now I can shop at Fendi and Givenchy. I just hope one day people realize it's not my fault that we work hard and build things worthwhile. End scene.
See? Dramatic. I can't. Like, what? Excuse me, sir.
This follow-up made me so enraged. So enraged. Because I'm like, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or nothing. Like, to be told the reason that you're poor is because your parents sat on the couch and didn't work hard is so insulting.
Right.
And, like, so, again, privilege and, like, ignorance and looking down on people. I'm like, I got no time for you.
Right. Literally. It's crazy. And, like, you could tell, like, he's just, I mean, like, that entire thing was just him being dramatic. Like, purposely, like, mocking people. Like, I can't. Like, you don't know, like, how people's lives were. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know, like, people's story and how hard people have worked. Like, how hard have you worked, sir? You know what I mean?
No, real. Like, would love to see you just survive 1 month with just having to start from scratch.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You would be crying for real.
Literally.
We would see this video, but you'd be sobbing and you wouldn't cutscene.
Right. Facts. Ugh, I can't struggle. Yeah.
Yeah, the reality is, for a lot of people, no matter how hard they work, it's not going to change their socioeconomic status just because of their life circumstances, the opportunities in the area that they live in. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not really much way to escape. You know, why do you think they, in the hood, they call them trap houses, you know?
Right. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're just
people
stuck.
Get trapped in certain areas and kind of not really a lot of mobility to get out of their financial situation.
Right.
I also would, like, sort of hate that society's created this situation where it's like, oh, you can only live a comfortable life if you get to middle management or, like, get to this type of position. whereas entry-level work is, like, considered, like, if you work an entry-level job, even if it's completely essential to society, mm-hmm. you don't deserve comfort. It just means that you're not smart enough, or you haven't gotten enough promotions, or you didn't pick the right industry. But I'm like, I'm sorry, like, fast food workers are essential.
Right.
Are they not? Right. Like, are they not essential to most people's lives? I'm pretty, like, why do they have to live under that much struggle to do an essential, to do essential work that we've said we value in society? And right. we've said with our dollars, we really, really value, clearly.
Right.
But the money doesn't go to the people who make it happen first. It lines the pockets of, and actually, you know what? Corporate law in America is actually set up so that it is illegal for a corporation, a private corporation, to not maximize shareholder profits over anything else.
That's crazy.
They actually created a whole new type of company called a benefit corporation. That's like a loophole for companies that were like, can we put our money toward good things? Because, like, that's not our priority. Like, they had to create a whole new category from your typical just private corporation to make that legal. So it's like, yeah, of course we're backwards in this country right now.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Nuts,
yeah,
right?
I saw somebody complaining about recently, like, there was a sign on McDonald's that said now hiring, I think it was $20 per hour. People were like, oh, you know, if they get paid $20 to flip your burgers, a home health nurse should get paid $40 an hour to flip your grandma. You know?
I mean, agreed. Yeah, I don't think these are in conflict. It's like, yes, correct. Yeah. Let's fight for everybody.
Right. But it goes back to the same argument of, like, people are like, oh, yeah, why is Narcan free, but insulin costs $200 a vial? Like, other people's struggle is not your, you know, shouldn't be your focus. Like,
that's not what bringing you down. It's not like the money that the tiny, literally pennies that goes into Narcan out of our government budget is not the reason you don't get free insulin.
Hello.
Not has nothing to do with it. No, you're totally right. And that's a distraction that I feel like has been used forever. Like, pit the people who are struggling against each other so they don't see a united front against the actual powers.
Right. That's so true.
That's how racism started. It was literally because, like, people of all color who were, like, indentured, like, you know, slaves or servants or other things, they were like, oh, they're all getting together to fight the power, so let's, like, put them into race-based classes and, like, create a hierarchy so they get distracted by that and fight each other. And it worked, clearly.
I think people just have this subtle suggestion that if they continually work towards keeping other people down and not being successful, that somehow they'll be more successful, or their success will be more secured in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're so right. And it's, like, such a toxic perspective. It's,
I mean, in a way, we're all fighting for resources, but not like that.
Right.
It's, there's, like, a false scarcity complex. Like, right, everyone feels like if one person's getting it, then it's taking away from me. When it's, like, there actually is enough in this world to go around 100 times. We're so imbalanced in its distribution, and the people who really are benefiting from the way wealth is distributed, they're out of sight.
Right.
Just, like, look how much money we look how many groceries are dumped in landfills every year. Like, there's more than enough food to go around. It's just they'd rather throw it away than give it to somebody.
Right. It's crazy. We're so wasteful.
Really so are. Wasteful.
So
yeah.
Wasteful. Yeah. I can't.
And consumerism, too. I actually, before we started the podcast, Lawrence made this really great point about the difference between being rich and being wealthy. And how, like, richness is more of, like, a consumerism where you have to prove or show that you have things. Right. Where being wealthy is, like, you make sure that you, like, have those, like, your resources well met, and that you're, like, you've got, you know, you're in a position to take care of yourself in the future, your family, whatever. But, like, it's not flashy necessarily.
Right.
Like, you, and I was just, I do think that so many people are further impacted by this trap because there is this sense of needing to buy to prove something, you know, right. And that's why I love stuff like, I love thrift stores. I love places that like take stuff out of the waste,
like
waistline and actually get into the hands of people because it, you know, the amount of clothing that gets thrown out every year, it's so stunning. An average person throws 70 pounds of clothes away a year.
Wow.
70 crazy. Pounds of clothing is going into a landfill per person.
Right. That's crazy. We could be recycling that. Like, literally.
Something. Like, right. Anything.
Repurposing.
Goes back to this point of, like, there is enough to go around. Right. Like, scarcity is a illusion that is used to make people feel afraid and, like, fight each other.
You can literally buy a ton of clothes very cheaply. I don't know the price. But that's how a lot of thrift stores, like, they'll buy stuff like that by the tonnage. And there's other countries that buy it, you know, or corporations, you know, like say you want to start a business where you sell jeans. You could buy a bunch of used jeans, clean them, re-dye them, and put your labels or logos on them or whatever and, you know, make money.
Right.
Actually, I love that idea. That could be really fun.
Right. We should make clothing.
We should.
Yeah, seriously. We should, actually.
And the percentage of the profits could go to helping local people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, like, develop, like, a design your own clothes. Except, like, provide, like, the basic template for, like, certain things. But, like, people get to, like, customize it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah, they have that with shoes.
You can, like,
get the different pieces, all different colors, or there's guys that you can bring your Jordans to, and they'll, like, professionally dye them custom.
Right. That'd be fun. You should do that.
There's money to be made out there. You just have to tap into an idea, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's another piece of all this, is, like, having the means to be able to have your own business, work for yourself. Like, I do feel like that is a path to, obviously, like, a very different kind of lifestyle, you know? And, like, but again, I'm like, oh, the reality of, like, what it means to do that is really hard. And I think this is another place where I think things get confused in our politics, is that it is actually very hard out there for small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's pretty difficult. It's expensive. Like, you know, but they're treated differently. They don't get any of the sort of federal handouts and perks and, like, inside benefits that these larger corporations get.
Right.
And so a lot of times when Democrats talk about reforming corporations or asking corporations to pay their fair share or to treat their workers better, that gets translated to putting a bunch more expectations on, like, a small mom and pop shop with, like, two workers, that a lot of times there is a lot that, like, those things get shut down because it becomes too expensive to actually make it work with all of the, like, rules and regulations and restrictions.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's like for all political things, it's like, before you have an opinion, like, take a breath and, like, separate out these sorts of issues, because it's intentionally get conflated by politicians, mm-hmm. to confuse you, right? Because one party will be saying, we want to deal with the, like, corporate greed, which, like, most people are like, yeah, you know,
right.
And we want to make it easier and less difficult for small businesses to exist. Like, those two things could coexist, but it just gets heard as all businesses are the same. They're all going to get, like, worse off if that's the thing, right? And I think it's important to separate those two things.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, they're just into, like, sound bites. They just want to put out a little blurb for somebody to grab onto and run with it. They don't care the repercussions of it or anything.
Educate you and ourselves. Mm-hmm. Education is power. So
that it is. Knowledge is power. Yeah. So what else?
I don't know. That's all I got about. That's the all struggle. I got today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah.
That's all.
That's a lot. That's a lot of struggle.
That's all the things I've been thinking about the last 24 hours. About that self-entitled jerk. And
right. I can't. That's crazy. And, you know, there's different levels of privilege, too. I will say that. There's different levels of privilege, you know. But, like, that's, like, the most. You know, there's, like, recognizing that, like, you know. Did either one of you see the little thing I sent in the group text about, like, equality and equity?
Oh, yeah. I saw that with the bicycle.
Did you see that, Phoebs? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, like, it's, like, I didn't, you know, like. It opened my eyes up, and, you know, like, in order to treat people, like, all the same, like, you do have to treat things, like, differently.
Exactly.
You know, I never thought about that before, and I was just like, you're absolutely right. You're going to have to, because people, like, have, like, come from different backgrounds. People have different situations, so to make it equal, like, you're going to have to, like, you know, of course treat people differently. Because, you know, to meet their needs and in their special way.
It's so helpful, right? Because it's like equality, treating everyone the same might seem fair on the surface, but right, if, you know, if you're, in this case, you're, you know, your goal is to be able to, like, ride a bicycle, just giving everyone the same bike means, like, 2/3 of the people won't actually be able to ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
And then I think, again, society will get hung up on, like, people get hung up on, like, oh, that person got more than me. It's like, well, they needed more for the same result. It's like, right. Don't focus on what you're getting, but focus on what that means, what your outcome is. Right. And, like, embrace the fact that if, like, you were to have some sort of serious injury in 5 years where suddenly you needed a much, like, you know, a lot more help, that it would be there for you. Like, I think that's the other piece. It's like, just because you're not the one getting all the support right now, aren't you glad you live in a society that will have your back if you need it? Because at the end of the day, like, everybody becomes disabled. Right. Like, everybody at some point. Eventually. So, like, don't hate on disability. Like, right, come on, y'all.
Right. Yeah. It's going to happen. It's coming. Just accept it. It's a part of our life.
I know. So if you make it that long, but, like, right. Yeah. Yes. I want to live in a world that's, like, helping, that has that, like, safety net there, even if I don't need it all right now, you know? And I think privilege is when you don't need something, so you don't value it, or you look down on it, or you don't support it. It's really not being able to put yourself in a different perspective and, like, check your own privilege for a minute and be like, it's nice that you can survive without disability insurance, but, like, other people will die.
Right.
Does that matter to you? Like, hello.
So true. Yeah,
I definitely check myself now and then. You know, like, I took somebody to the store recently and they were, like, overcharged, like, $1.50. And they were like, well, would you go back to customer service and go get that $1.50 back? And I was like, hell no, I wouldn't. Like, I ain't got time for that. So I can go sit there, you know, for a half hour and wait for somebody. And then they're, you know, going to tell me that there's a reason why and try to talk me out of it. I was like, I ain't got time for that. But, you know, for somebody that needs that $1.50, it's not even a question.
Right. That's so true.
Or, like, when you think about, when you're not where you want to be, like, there's people that would die to be where you are right now, you know?
Yep.
But if you lose sight of it, you know, you'll forget.
Put a little gratitude in your attitude.
Right?
Ooh. Yeah. Yes. Like that.
That's definitely one way to, like, realign your perspective. You know, like, I actually started recently because my psychiatrist told me to. And it's just good practice to do, like a little, I actually started journaling in the morning and at night. I always write, I don't know why it's made, put this way, but maybe to help me, like, sleep better. At nighttime, it's always, like, to do a gratitude list to try to, like, you know, cause the day's gone by. And so much happens throughout the day. And, you know, of course, plans don't always go the way that you want them to. And so it's nice to, like, be at the end of the day to, like, force yourself to think of, like, 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for. And just to be realized, like, you know, like, the fact that, you know, you have a house, you have a job, you know, you have shelter, and your basic needs are being met, like, in a lot of places, and for a lot of people, like, that's not the case, and people are, like, struggling just to get those things, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I think we're, you know, I think we could probably start closing out here, you know?
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground, didn't I?
Yeah, we definitely did. That's about that time. So, yeah.
I feel like unpacking privilege would be an interesting future episode to get into that much more deeply.
Yeah.
If it is complex.
Definitely.
Word.
We should definitely do that. Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
This is Keeping It Real.
Yeah.
Podcast coming to you from the clubhouse, the Catskill Clubhouse.
You can catch us every other Thursday.
Yep. Tuesday.
Tuesday. Sorry, I'm used to being here on Thursdays. I forget.
Totally. Every other Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. ish.
Yep.
And you could always catch the recordings after. But yeah.
Yeah. It's Keeping It Real, where we keep things real. All right. We'll catch you.
Thanks for joining us.
Peace.
Peace.